So we're on Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're up to the 10th line, Amar Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Lechol Amar Rabbi Eliezer Machshirei Mitzvah Dochen Es HaShabbos. The Gemara now is going to circle back to a topic that we spoke about at the beginning of yesterday's daf, which was the machlokas that we mentioned yesterday between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Now again, we don't paskel like Rabbi Eliezer about any of these issues, but again, it's still important to understand his position, where we mentioned yesterday that Rabbi Eliezer holds, at least in the context of Bris Mila, that, you know, Machshirei Mila are Doche Shabbos. I'm allowed to chop down the tree to make the knife. I'm allowed to carry the knife on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara says, this position of Rabbi Eliezer, that machshirei mitzvah, that preparations for a mitzvah can be done on Shabbos, is not the case for all mitzvahs. How do we know that? So the Gemara says, shaharei shtei halachim chovas hayomhin, v'lo lamdan Rabbi Eliezer, ela migzera shava. The shtei halachim, which was the carbon that was offered on Shavuos, is obviously an obligation to bring specifically on Shavuos. And the only reason why Rabbi Eliezer knows that the Shtei Halechem, or the process involved with bringing the Shtei Halechem, is Doche Shabbos or Doche Yontif, is only based on a Gzera Shava. What's the Gzera Shava? Desanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Minayin L'machshirei Shtei Halechem Shedoche Nes HaShabbos. Let's say Shavuos falls out on a Shabbos, so how do I know that the preparations for the Shtei Halechem can or must be done on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Nemra Hava'a Be'omer, V'nemra Hava'a B'Shtei Halechem. The Torah uses the Shoresh Hava'a to bring, both in the context of the carbon omer, as well as in the context of the shtei halechem. Ma hava ha'amura be'omer machshirin dochen es ha'shabbos, af hava ha'amura b'shtei halechem machshirin dochen es ha'shabbos. The Gemara says, based on this gzera shava, just as based on the word hava from the carbon omer, we know, of course, we already know this from other Gemaras, that the process of the ktsiras ha'omer, of harvesting the carbon omer, is in fact doche Shabbos. So if the 16th of Nisan were to fall out on a Shabbos, then the ktsiras ha'omer, the process of harvesting the omer, would be Doche Shabbos. So too is the process of preparing the Shtei Halechem is also Doche Shabbos. So again, before the Gemara starts to pick apart this proof, the point the Gemara is trying to make here is that Rabbi Eliezer did not know this intuitively. He didn't figure out, he said, oh, you know, the process of preparing for the Shtei Halechem is automatically Doche Shabbos. That wasn't the case. He needed a special limud, a special Gzeres Shavah to figure that out, implying that the baseline assumption would have been that if not for this Gzeres Shavah, he never would have, you know, come to this conclusion, which means that not all machshirei mitzvah are necessarily doche Shabbos. So the Gemara just points out, the Gemara says, mufne, you have to say, in order for this gzera shava to make any sense, you need to say that both words of hava'a, the word, the shorash hava'a that's used by the omer and the shtei halechem, are superfluous, or are available. In other words, and again, as we'll see this in a second, you know, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, in Zvachim and in Nida and a few other places, regarding the parameters of a gzera shava. And I think we've spoken about this in the past, that in order for Gzera Shava to be effective, at least according to some shittos in the Gemara, both words need to be completely unnecessary. In other words, if one of the words from the Gzera Shava, or maybe according to some, if both of the words in the Gzera Shava are being used for some other halacha, that means that the word is actually there for a purpose, and it undermines its ability to act as part of a Gzera Shava. So the Gemara says the only way one can argue that this Gzera Shava between Omer and Shtei Halechem is a valid Gzera Shava is if you suggest that both words of Hava are completely superfluous. The ilom mufne, because if you want to argue that they're not superfluous, if you want to make the claim that one or both of those words are needed for some other halacha, so then the problem is ikul mifrach mala omer shekein imatza katzer kotzer tomar b'shtei halachem sheimatza katzerino kotzer. The Gemara says if you were going to argue that this halacha, that machshirei shtei halachem was doche Shabbos, is not based purely on a gzera shava, but it's based on logic, and the reason why we would say that is because maybe one or both of the words in the gzera shava are needed for some other halacha, the Gemara says that I could easily refute and undermine that halacha by pointing out that there's a very serious difference between omer and shtei halachem. What's the difference? Is that when it comes to the mitzvah of karban omer, there is an objective mitzvah called ktsiras haomer, where you need to harvest that grain even if somebody already harvested it, meaning the mitzvah of ktsiras ha'omer is objectively a mitzvah. The pasuk says in Parshas Emor, uktsartem es ktsira. You have to harvest the grain of the omer. The act of harvesting itself is the mitzvah. Whereas by the shtei halechem, there is no objective mitzvah to harvest the grain. As long as you have the produce at the end of the day, even if somebody else harvested it, that's also okay. So one could argue that if not for the fact that this gzera shava was theoretically mufne, meaning that both words were superfluous, and we just had this objective gzeirah shava to prove that the machshirei shtei halachim were docha Shabbos, one could have easily refuted or undermined that argument by showing that there's a very serious contrast between omer and shtei halachim, where the process of harvesting the omer is by definition docha Shabbos, because there's a mitzvah to be kotzer, to harvest the carbon omer, whereas by the shtei halachim, there is no mitzvah to harvest anything. If someone else harvested it 2 days ago, and the grain is just sitting around, that's also okay, as long as you end up making the bread and making the food that you're going to use for the carbon. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, you're absolutely right. You have to say, therefore, in order for this Gzeirah Shavah to make any sense, that both words on both ends of the Gzeirah Shavah, the word Hava by the Omer and the word Hava by the Shtei HaLechem, must be Mufna. They must be available. They must be superfluous, because again, if they're not, so then you run into this brick wall, you run into this very logical issue, this problem of, isn't there a serious contrast between Omer and Shtei HaLechem? So the Gemara now says, okay, Michdi, Ksiv v'haveisem es Omer reshis kitzirachem el ha-kohen biyom haviachem lomali. So the Gemara says, so let's look at the pasuk in Parshas Emor. The Torah says that a person has to bring the carbon omer, the reishis ktsirchem el hakohen. So the question is, why does the Torah have to specify biyom haviachem? Right? We already know that in other words, the pasuk starts out with the word vahavisem. You're bringing the carbon omer. Why does the pasuk then have to also say biyom haviachem on the day that you bring the carbon? We already know that you're bringing the carbon omer. So the Gemara says, oh, it must be the shma minal afnuy. It must be like we just said, before, that word of in other words, that word of haviachem is superfluous, and if it's superfluous, that kind of buttresses what we were saying before, that is going to make this a valid gzeirah shavah, because again, if one or both of those words are being used for some other halacha, it's going to undermine the entire gzeirah shavah. So the Gemara further points out, v'akati mufne mitzad echadu, v'shamina leila Rabbi Eliezer de'amar mufne mitzad echad l'meidenu mishivin. The Gemara says, but even though you've just proven to me that the word haviachem in the context of the omer is superfluous, the problem is, what about the word on the other end regarding the shtei halachem? Now, and the Gemara says, this is particularly problematic for Rabbi Eliezer, which again, remember, that's the opinion that we're trying to figure out here, where Rabbi Eliezer happens to be of the opinion in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, that again, we said before, that in order for a gzeirah shavah to work, it needs to be that the words are, in other words, that the words are not superfluous. Rebbe Eliezer has actually even a more machmir opinion. He says it's not good enough that one of the two words of the gzeirah shavah is not superfluous. He says even if one of them is superfluous and one of them is not, that's also a problem. That's what we call lemeidin umeshivin. The Gemara says in Yevamos and in Nida and in Zvachim, lemeidin umeshivin means that I can learn the gzeirah shavah to begin with, but the problem is, according to Rebbe Eliezer, if one of the two words on either side of a gzeirah shavah are not superfluous, if they're being used for some other halacha, that's a serious flaw in the gzeirah shavah. And if I have a logical reason why the gzeirah shavah shouldn't work, like we do in our Gemara, because of the contrast between Omer and Shtei Alechem, I can completely undermine that gzeirah shavah. So now we're back to where we started. So fine. So the word haviachem by Omer, we pointed out, is completely superfluous to learn the gzeirah shavah. But according to Rebbe Eliezer, that's not good enough. In other words, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you need to have both words on both sides of the gzeirah shavah being superfluous in order for this to make any sense. So what does Rebbe Eliezer do? Yeah.
Rabbi,
yeah.
I'm confused here.
Yeah.
When we're referring to the psukim for the Omer, are we referring to the pasuk and pasuk yud where it says Havetan, or on Tesvav where Haviachem? Seems like there are two references to Omer.
Right, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the Gemara's point, because the first reference is the mitzvah to bring it. So that's obviously not superfluous. That's the mitzvah to bring the Omer. But the fact that the Torah writes it again, that's the superfluous mention of bringing the Omer. That's the basis for the Gzeirah Shavah, right? Whereas by Shtei Alechem, the Torah only writes it once. That's exactly the problem, right? So the question is,
how would you read it without the word Aviachem?
I'm saying you would just take out the words biyom haviach.
Say it's vacant to learn.
Yeah.
So how would you read the passage without using that word?
You would say, I don't know, Sfartem lachami macharas hashabas es omer hatnufa. I don't know. You would come up with some other way to. I don't know exactly how it would be formulated, but the point is that it, within 5-6 psukim of each other, the Torah mentions the fact that you're bringing the omer twice. So obviously, one of those mentions is superfluous. So the question is, how does Rebbe Eliezer address this problem? So the Gemara says, Taviu ribuyahi. So the Gemara says, Taviu ribuyahu. The Gemara says the fact that the Torah uses the word Taviu, again, this is in the context of the Shtei Alechem, that word Taviu is also superfluous. So it turns out that really we have superfluous words words on both sides of the Gzeira Shava, which means that even Rabbi Eliezer could accept this Gzeira Shava. So now the Gemara wants to know, Lima Ute Mai.
But how,
so,
yeah, can he bring the Gzeira Shava from the rough word, the view?
Okay, so that. It's the same Shoresh. So. Yes. So first of all, it's the same Shoresh, but to your point, Billy, to your point, there are Gemaras that actually say, for example, there's a famous Gzeira Shava in a few places in the Gemara between the word Shiva and Bia, which both refer to returning or coming in, even though they're completely different words, but it's the same idea. So here, these words are actually the same Shoresh, so that's actually a little bit easier. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know Lema Ute Mai. So the question now the Gemara is addressing here is, again, that which we said earlier, right, again, in the beginning of our Gemara, that, you know, that we said that not for all Machshire Mitzvah does Rebbe Eliezer say that, you know, that all Machshire Mitzvah are Doche Shabbos. The question is, specifically, which types of machshirei mitzvah was Rebbe Eliezer referring to that are not docha Shabbos? So the Gemara explains: Ilei malam ute lulav v'hasan yo lulav v'chol machshirei docha nes haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. It can't be referring to lulav because we see explicitly from the Gemara in Sukkah that Rebbe Eliezer holds that machshirei lulav are docha Shabbos. V'elo lama ute Sukkah v'hasan yo Sukkah v'chol machshirei docha nes haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. It also cannot be referring to the preparations for a Sukkah because Rebbe Eliezer also holds that that is docha Shabbos. V'elo lama ute matzah v'hasan yo matzah v'chol machshirei docha nes haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer also holds that you're allowed to do any preparation for baking matzos on Shabbos. V'yelo lema'ute shofar v'hasan yeshofar v'chol machshir v'docha nes haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. And it also cannot be referring to preparations for shofar either, because Rebbe Eliezer also holds that is docha Shabbos. So Amar of Adab Rava lema'ute tzitzitz l'taliso mezuzah l'fischa. The Gemara says must mean that Rebbe Eliezer is coming to exclude putting tzitzis on your garment or putting up a mezuzah by your doorway. How do we know that? Gemara says Tanya nami hachi v'shavin she'imtzayitz taliso v'as the mezuzah lefischo shehu chai. Of Rebbe Eliezer agrees that if a person puts tzitzis on their garment on Shabbos, or they put up a mezuzah on their house on Shabbos, that they will be chai for that. That's a problem on Shabbos. What's the reason for that? My time, Amar Rav Yosef lefi she'in kavua lahem zman. These are mitzvahs. Mezuzah and tzitzis are not mitzvahs that have to be done at any specific moment. They're mitzvahs that apply all the time. So why do you have to do a dafka right now on Shabbos? Do it, do it on Sunday. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar le'abat. Yeah.
Isn't a lulav muktzah?
Okay, so again, just to keep this in mind, this whole Gemara, as we said in the beginning, is all according to Rebbe Eliezer, which is not the way that we paskin. So everything in this Gemara is all theoretical, right? We paskin like Rebbe Akiva, we paskin that none of these things are docha Shabbos. We paskin, of course, a lulav is muktzah on Shabbos. Of course, a shofar is muktzah on Shabbos. That's why this year, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, the first day is on Shabbos. We're not going to blow shofar, we're not going to take a lulav. But again, this is all within the world of Rebbe Eliezer. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Gemara is trying to figure out, you know, basically, how do we know what is and what isn't docha Shabbos, essentially? Okay, so.
Even in the world of Rebbe Eliezer,
yeah,
I understand that you could say a bris that needs to be done on Shabbos has to be done on Shabbos. So if you want to say you have to cut down the tree in order to do the bris,
right, correct.
I get it. But a lulav, you're not going to be able to use on Shabbos anyway.
Or why not?
Talking about in the base of Mikdash.
Again.
Why not, Billy?
What everyone's doing now is that you're conflating halacha lemaisa with Rebbe Eliezer, which again are two separate things. La halacha, we don't. According to Rebbe Eliezer, you're supposed to be taking a lulav on Shabbos. You're supposed to be doing everything on Shabbos. That's the point. Okay. 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 So now, so the Gemara says maybe Rebbe Eliezer is coming to exclude mezuzah and tzitzis, right? Because those mitzvahs don't have a defined time. So Amar le'Abai, Abai says the exact opposite. Ander Rabba, mide'in kavu lohem zman kol shaita v'shaita zmanehu. So Abai says, if anything, I would say the opposite. Because mezuzah and tzitzis don't have a defined time, that means that they bedavka could be done on Shabbos because they could be done whenever you want. So I would think, if anything, that those mitzvahs should be allowed to be done on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Elo Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Yitzchak, V'Yisema Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yoshua, Ho Aluvi Yado Lehefkeiran. So comes the Gemara and says, you know, the real reason why you're not allowed to put tzitzis on your beged on Shabbos or put up a mezuzah, even according to Rebbe Eliezer, is because you have the ability to be mafkir them. Since I could declare my garment hefker or the house hefker or whatever, so we know that things that are hefker are not chayiv in tzitzis or mezuzah. So because you have the ability to be mafkir them, therefore, It's a much less enforceable type of a chiyuv, and therefore even Rebbe Eliezer will agree that you're not allowed to put that on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara now goes back to what we were talking about before. Amar Mar Lulav Echol Machshir of Dochen Es Hashabbos Divrei Rebbe Eliezer Menolei LeRebbe Eliezer. How does Rebbe Eliezer know that the Machshirei Lulav, that preparations for a lulav, are Dochen Shabbos? So the Gemara explains. Ime Omer Ushtei Alechem Shekein Tzorach Gavah. The Gemara says if you're going to tell me the source is based on the carbon Omer and the Shtei Alechem, which we spent the whole previous Amud proving that Rebbe Eliezer holds that's Docha Shabbos, so that can't be. Those things are Tzorech Gavoa. Those are Karbanos, right? Karbanos are offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one could argue that Karbanos, okay, so the preparations for Karbanos maybe are Docha Shabbos. A Lulav, I mean, obviously, while it's true that a Lulav is a mitzvah, but it's not quite on par with a Karban, so maybe one could argue that it's not Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Kra Biyom, Biyom Afilu B'Shabbos. So the question is, how does, in fact, Rebbe Eliezer know that, you know, that a Lulav and all the preparations are Docha Shabbos? That must be based on the famous pasuk in Parshas Emor, where the pasuk says, "Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon." According to Rebbe Eliezer, the word "bayom" teaches me on any day, including Shabbos, I can do anything that I need to for the dalin mina. So the question is, "Ula mai hilchasa." So the question now becomes, so like, what does that mean practically? Ilema letiltol itchrich kral lemishrei tiltol. So this addresses Danny's question from before. If the Torah is coming to teach me that I'm allowed to carry the lulav, that it's not muktzah, the Gemara says that makes no sense because we know that all of Hilchos Muktzah is only an Isser Durabanan in the first place. It's highly unlikely that the Torah would be teaching me something to be Matir in Isser Durabanan, which didn't exist at the time that the Halacha was written in the Torah. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elelemachshirav, therefore you have to argue, according to Rebbe Eliezer at least, that the word Bayom in the Pasuk is teaching me that even on Shabbos I'm allowed to do preparations for the Lulav. So the obvious question is, so then how do the Rabbanan respond to that? V'Rabbanan, Hahumi Boyle Bayom Velo Balay. The Rabbanan say, no, that word Bayom in the Pasuk and Emor is not teaching me that I'm allowed to prepare my lulav on Shabbos. All it teaches me is that the chiyuv, the obligation of lulav, is only by day and not by night. So the question is, okay, how does Rebbe Eliezer know that? Rebbe Eliezer, bayom v'lo b'layla min nalei, nafkolei me usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yomim, yomim v'lo leilos. Rebbe Eliezer has a different pasuk, when the pasuk talks about rejoicing in front of Hashem for 7 days, days and not nights. The question, of course, now is, how do the Rabbanan interpret that pasuk? V'Rabbanan, it's strich. So the Gemara says, no. So, in other words, the Rabbanan still say, we still need the original pasuk of Bayom. Why? Because Salka Daita Chamina, I might have said, Neilav Shivas Yamim Misuka, Mala Halan Yamim Ba'afilu Lelos, Afkan Yamim Ba'afilu Lelos, Kamash Malan. One could have legitimately argued that maybe there's grounds to compare Lulav to Sukkah, which is not so crazy because they're both mitzvahs that are done on Sukkahs. So just as the mitzvah of Sukkah applies at night as well, obviously, so too one could have argued that the mitzvah of Lulav should equally apply at night. Therefore, no, we need the Pasuk, the original Pasuk of Bayom, according to the Rabbanan, to teach you that Lulav Bidavka applies by day and not by night. So now the question becomes, the Gemara says, V'lichto v'rachamana b'lulav v'nesu hanach v'nel fumine. So now that we've just proven that Lulav seems to be this paradigm where everything is Docha Shabbos, why doesn't Lulav now become the model? Why can't we derive every other area of Halacha from Lulav? Meaning, the question is going to be, why is the Gemara going to now spend the rest of this daf trying to quote psukim to prove to you that shofar is Docha, that machshirei shofar and sukkah and tzitzis and everything else is Docha Shabbos? Just learn everything from Lulav, because we just proved, according to Rebbe Eliezer at least, that machshirei Lulav are Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, you can't derive other halachas from Lulav. Why not? Yishum di'ikala mifrach ma'ala Lulav shekein ton arba minim, because Lulav has a unique feature about it that makes it different than every other halacha here, namely that a Lulav has a requirement of dal and minim, which is a unique feature that obviously does not apply to any of these other halachas. Okay, so that's in terms of Lulav. Now the Gemara goes to Sukkah. Sukkah v'chol machshirei Docha Nes HaShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Menolei LeRebbe Eliezer ha. How does Rebbe Eliezer know that all the preparations for a sukkah are Docha Shabbos? So the Gemara, again, the Gemara is going to go through all the riyas that we had before. Ime Omer Ushtei Alechem Shekein Tzorach Gavoho. If it's based on the fact that that the karbanos are Docha Shabbos, that's not a good proof, as we pointed out before, because again, those are karbanos. You can't bring me a proof from karbanos. Imi Lulav Shekein Ta'onar Barmin. If it's based on Lulav, so we just said a second ago in the Gemara that Lulav is different than all these other mitzvos because it has the requirement of the Arba Minim. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Gamar Shivas Yamim Lulav, we must derive it from the requirement of using the lulav. In other words, the fact that the Torah requires you to use the lulav for 7 days. Ma'ala halan machshirav dochen as a Shabbos, avkan machshirav dochen as a Shabbos. So just as we just proved in the previous part of the Gemara, that based on the fact that you have to use the lulav all 7 days, that the lulav and all the preparations therein are docha Shabbos, so too the sukkah and all the preparations therein should be docha Shabbos as well. So then the obvious question is, the same question we asked on the case of lulav, v'lichtov rachmana b'sukkah v'nesei hanach v'nigmar minei. Why isn't sukkah just the paradigm? In other words, why don't we derive every other halacha from sukkah? Why do I have to keep writing this drasha in every single halacha? So the Gemara says, no. Mishum de'ikal mifrach mal sukkah shekeinu heges b'leilos kivei yamim, because sukkah is unique and differs from all these other halachos, because again, it applies at night as well as by day, as opposed to lulav, as opposed to shofar, and all these other halachos that we're going to talk about, which only apply by yom. Okay. Then the Gemara says, matzah v'chol machshireha dochan es ha-shabes divar Rebbe Eliezer. So again, menalei le Rebbe Eliezer, how does Rebbe Eliezer know that matzah and all its preparation are docha Shabbos? So imei omer ushtei alechem shekein tzorach gavoah. So again, don't bring me a proof from the karbanos, because that's offered to Hakadosh Baruch. Imei lulav shekein tzorach bar aminim. Don't bring me a proof from lulav, because lulav requires the dal aminim. Imei sukkah shekein uheges belelos kviyam. And don't bring me a raya from sukkah, because as we just pointed out, sukkah applies at night as well. So the Gemara says ela gamar chamishasar nichaga sukos ma'ala halan machshireha docha nesa Shabbos avkan machshireha docha nesa Shabbos. The famous gzeira shava called tesvav, which is a comparison that the Gemara makes between Sukkot and Pesach, where in both contexts the Torah talks, in other words, the Torah uses the term Chamishah, sorry, because of course Pesach and Sukkot both are on the 15th of their respective months. So therefore, the Gemara says that maybe we should compare and say that just as we pointed out before, that Sukkah is Docha Shabbos according to Rebbe Eliezer, so too Matzah should be Docha Shabbos as well. The Gemara asks the same question we keep on asking. V'lichtov Rachman. Go ahead.
When they're saying matzah right now, are they equating it to the
shtei
lechem, where they can actually harvest the wheat?
No. Well, I guess in theory you could argue that, because I mean the Gemara is just talking about any preparations required for matzah. I assume that that's had to do with like baking matzahs. That's what I assumed. But in theory, I guess you would be right. Also, if it meant you had to harvest stuff, also then again, I think from a more technical perspective, it's going to be hard to argue that, just because it takes a while after the harvesting to get the matzahs actually ready to produce and whatever, so you have to let the grain sit and soak for a while, whatever. So I think the assumption is that you're already a little bit farther along. But in theory, yeah, anything that you need for the matzah would technically be mutter on Shabbos according to Rebbe Eliezer. So the Gemara asks the same question. V'lichtov rachmana b'matzah v'nisu hanach v'ligmor mineh. Again, why not just use matzah as the paradigm and derive every other halacha from matzah? The Gemara says, no. Mishum de'ikal mifrach ma'ala matzah shekeinu heges b'nashim kiva anashim. So matzah is unique because matzah is actually one of the few mitzvahs on this whole list that applies to women as well as to men. Right? Most of the mitzvahs we've seen until now, lulav and sukkah, are mitzvahs asei she'azman grama. Now the truth is, matzah really should also be a mitzvah asei she'azman grama, and really women should also not be chayavos. But the Gemara in Pesachim teaches us based on a drasha, based on a hekesh, that for technical reasons women are chayavos in matzah. But again, so the bottom line is that matzah also differs from all these other halachos. So therefore, maybe matzah cannot be a good paradigm for anything else. Then the Gemara tries again. What about shofar? So the Gemara says, shofar v'chol machshir of dochen es ha-shabes divar Rebbe Eliezer. So again, the same question. Menal leilu Rebbe Eliezer, how does Rebbe Eliezer know that shofar is docha Shabbos? So the Gemara says, imei omer shtei alechem shekein tzorach gavoah. Again, if it's karbanos, so we said karbanos are offered to Hashem. Imei lulav shekein ton arba aminim. The lulav requires the four aminim. Imei sukkah shekein oheges b'leilos kiviyamim. The sukkah applies even at night. Imei matzah shekein oheges b'nashim kiva anashim. And if we're talking about matzah, so again, that applies to women and not to men. So, I'm sorry. That applies even to women. So the Gemara says, right, Ela Amar Kra Yom Teruah Yiyah Lachem B'Yom Afilu B'Shabes. It must be that the source for Rebbe Eliezer that all the preparations for a shofar are docha Shabbos is because the pasuk tells us, we read in last week's parsha, in Parshas Pinchas, Yom Teruah Yiyah Lachem, that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Teruah, implying that B'Yom means even on Shabbos. So the question, of course, is Ulamai. What is the ramification of that pasuk? Ilema Leskia. If the pasuk is teaching me that there's a chiddush that I'm allowed to blow shofar, or maybe even obligated to blow shofar even on Shabbos, the Gemara says that can't be. Hatana de Vishmuel, kol meleches avuda lo sa'asu, yatzta tkia shofar rediyas apashi hi chachma ve'ena melacha. Right, when the Torah talks about the isser of doing melacha on yantif, the Torah says kol meleches avuda lo sa'asu. You're not allowed to do meleches avuda. And the Gemara says explicitly that there are two things that are not included in the definition of meleches avuda. One is rediyas apas, which is topic that we spoke about all the way back in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, which is peeling dough off the wall of an oven. But also the thing which is relevant for our Gemara is Tkiyah Shofar. The Gemara says Tkiyah Shofar is not so much a malacha, but it's a chachma. It's in other words, it's kind of like a craft or a trade. It requires a certain amount of skill in order to do it. So the question is, if this is just a chachma and it's not really a malacha, how could the pasuk in Parshas the pasuk in Parshas Emor possibly be excluding something which is not even a malacha in the first place? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says El Lamachshir, and it must mean the pasuk in Parshas Emor is not teaching me that Tkiyah Shofar is a problem on Shabbos, but rather that, in other words, the pasuk is teaching me that the Machshirin, that the preparations for Shofar are mutter on Shabbos according to Rabbi Eliezer. The question, of course, is how do the Rabbanan respond to that? The Rabbanan, Hahu Miboyle V'Yom Belo Belayla. The Rabbanan will tell you that the pasuk of Yom Teruah teaches me that the mitzvah of Shofar is only by day and not by night. For Rabbi Eliezer, V'Yom Belo Belayla Minale. How does Rabbi Eliezer know that? So the Gemara says Nafkale Mi Biyoma Ki Purim ta'aviru shofar b'chol artzachem v'gamri mehadodeh. Rabbi Eliezer has a different source for that, which is based on a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Bahar, when the Torah talks about blowing the shofar and the beginning of Yovel to signal the Yovel year, to signal that all the avadim go free and all the fields go back to their original owners. So the Gemara, so at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara is using that pasuk as a paradigm for all forms of shofar. And since the pasuk there says, b'yoma kipurim, so you see that it has to be by yom. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, that pasuk can serve as a paradigm for Tkiyah Shofar for Rosh Hashanah as well. So the question, of course, now is V'lichto v'rachamana b'shofar v'leisu anach v'ligim rumine. Why can't Shofar just be the paradigm? Why can't Shofar be the model? And we'll derive every other halacha from Shofar. So the Gemara says, Mitkiyah Shofar de Rosh Hashanah leikolim migmar shekein machneses zichronos shel Yisrael avien shabbat shemayim. So the Gemara says you can't derive from the regular Tkiyah Shofar that we do on Rosh Hashanah, because that Tkiyah Shofar is unique. Because as we know from the davening of Rosh Hashanah, the whole point of Tkiyah Shofar is to take all of our, to take all of our zechuyos and bring them up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that Tkiyah Shofar is very, very unique. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "Mitkiyah Shofar de Yom Kippurim leikol migmarei to Amar Mar Taku Bezdin Shofar Nifteru Avadim Levatam Besados Chozers Levalan." You also can't derive from the Tkiyah Shofar that we do in the beginning of Yovel, because as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, that was also a unique Tkiyah Shofar, as we just said a second ago. That Tkiyah Shofar signified that the Avadim were going free and the fields were going back to their original owners. So because there are these unique features that apply to the various Tkiyah Shofar, whether it's the Tkiyah Shofar of Rosh Hashanah being a sign that Hashem is accepting all of our tefillos, or that Hashem is remembering our zechuyos, or the Tkiyah Shofar of Yovel signifying that Avadim are going free and fields are going back to their original owner, either of those reasons are grounds to not use those Tkiyah Shofars as paradigms to derive one halacha from the other. In other words, to learn that, in other words, to use Tkiyah Shofar as a paradigm. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to Mila. The Gemara says, Mila v'chol machshirei hadochanes haShabbos divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Menal leil Rebbe Eliezer. This is how we got into this whole discussion in the first place, right? This is how the parak started. How does Rebbe Eliezer know that preparations for Bris Mila are docha Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Imi kulu gama arki diamrinan. If you're going to start to rattle off all the mitzvahs that we just spoke about on this amud of shofar and lulav and sukkah and matzah, so again, you could refute all of those by pointing to all the things that we pointed to on this daf, whether it's that matzah applies to women, or shofar is unique because it brings our tefillos to Hashem, or because lulav, or because lulav has arba minim, or because sukkah, applies at night. But the Gemara says, Mala hanach shekinim avar zmana batla. The Gemara says, moreover, all the other mitzvos that we've mentioned on this amud, on this daf, are different than mila, because once the yontif passes you by, those mitzvos are gone, right? Whereas mila, so obviously obviously ideally it should be done on the eighth day, but if not, you can always do mila afterwards as well. So the Gemara says, Ela haynu taima de Rebbe Eliezer, to Amar Kra'u Vayom Hashimini Yimol Besar Laso Va'afilu B'Shabbos. Rebbe Eliezer derives from the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria, where it says Uvayom Hashimini. The word Vayom teaches me that a bris milah on the eighth day, of course, is going to be Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Lichtov Rachmana B'Milah V'Leisu Anach V'Ligmarine. Why not just use milah as the paradigm and derive every other halacha from bris milah? The Gemara says, No. Mishum De'ikala Mifrach Malam Milah Shekein Nichrusu Alei Shlosh Esrei Brisos, because bris milah is unique in that there are 13 brisos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avram Avinu with bris milah. If you look in Parshas Lech Lecha, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, the Torah uses the term bris 13 times in that context. So because the mitzvah of bris milah is so unique that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the word bris 13 times in that context, we are not able to use that as a paradigm to derive to any other halach. So if you wanted to basically summarize everything that we've done in this daf, it really boils down to one idea. Every time the Gemara asks this question, why can't this be the paradigm? Why can't this be the paradigm? The bottom line answer answer is because every one of these mitzvahs has something unique that doesn't apply to any other mitzvah. That's why we can't use it. It's not a valid paradigm to use to derive to other areas of halacha, because these are all considered to be unique.
But why doesn't the Gemara